Penguin Audio presents Indigo Spell by Rochelle Mead, read by Emily Schaefer. Chapter 1. This wasn't the first time I'd been pulled out of bed for a crucial mission. It was, however, the first time I'd been subjected to such a personal line of questioning.
Are you a virgin?
Huh? I rubbed my sleepy eyes just in case this was all some sort of bizarre dream that would disappear. An urgent phone call had dragged me out of bed 5 minutes ago, and I was having a little trouble adjusting. My history teacher, Ms. Terwilliger, leaned closer and repeated the question in a stage whisper. I said, are you a virgin? Yes. I was fully awake now and glanced uneasily around my dorm's lobby, making sure no one was around to witness this crazy exchange. I didn't have to worry. Aside from a bored-looking desk attendant on the far side of the room, the lobby was empty, probably because no sane person would be up at this time of night. When Ms. Terwilliger's call had woken me, she demanded I meet her here for a life-or-death matter. Getting interrogated about my personal life wasn't quite what I'd expected. She stepped back and sighed in relief.
Yes, of course. Of course you're a virgin.
I narrowed my eyes, unsure if I should be offended or not.
Of course? What's that supposed to mean? What's going on?
She immediately snapped back to attention and pushed her wire-rimmed glasses up the bridge of her nose. They were always slipping down.
No time to explain. We have to go.
She grabbed hold of my arm, but I resisted and stayed where I was.
Ma'am, it's 3 in the morning.
And then, just so she'd understand the severity of the situation.
On a school night. Never mind that.
She turned in the direction of the desk attendant and called across the room.
I'm taking Sydney Melrose with me. Mrs. Weathers can argue with me about the curfew tomorrow.
The attendant looked startled, but she was just some college student who'd been hired to sit there overnight. She was no match for the formidable Ms. Terwilliger, with her tall, gangly stature and bird-like face. The real authority keeping girls in my dorm was the security guard outside, but he simply nodded in a friendly way when Ms. Terwilliger dragged me past. It made me wonder just how many girls she'd abducted in the middle of the night.
I'm in my pajamas, I told her.
It was the last protest I could offer as we reached her car, which was parked in a fire lane. She drove a red Volkswagen Beetle with flowers painted on the sides. Somehow this didn't surprise me in the least.
You'll be fine,
she said, fishing car keys out of her massive velvet purse. Around us, the desert night was cool and silent. Tall palm trees created dark spider-like shapes against the sky. Beyond them, a full moon and smattering of stars glittered. I wrapped my arms around myself, touching the soft fabric of my micro-fleece robe. Underneath it, I had on full-length striped pajamas paired with fluffy beige slippers. The ensemble worked well in my cozy dorm room, but wasn't exactly practical for a Palm Springs night. But then, going out in pajamas wasn't really practical in any place. She unlocked the car, and I stepped gingerly inside, having to dodge empty paper coffee cups and old issues of Utney Reader. My neat sensibilities cringed at that kind of mess, but it was the least of my worries right now.
Ms. Terwilliger, I said once we were driving through the suburban streets, what's going on?
Now that we were out of the dorm, I hoped she'd start talking sense. I hadn't forgotten her life-or-death comment and was beginning to grow nervous. Her eyes were on the road ahead of us, and lines of worry marked her angular face.
I need you to cast a spell.
I froze as I tried to process her words. Not long ago, this proclamation would have sent me into protests and fits of revulsion. Not that I was comfortable with it now. Magic still freaked me out. Ms. Terwilliger taught at my private high school, Amberwood Prep, by day and was a witch at night. She said I, too, possessed a natural affinity for magic and had managed to teach me some spells, despite my best efforts to resist. I actually had a few good reasons for wanting to avoid anything arcane. Aside from inborn beliefs about magic being wrong, I simply didn't want to get caught up in any more supernatural affairs than I had to. I already spent my days as part of a secret society that kept vampires secret from the human world. That and my schoolwork were enough to keep anyone busy. Nonetheless, her magical training had gotten me out of some dangerous situations recently, and I was no longer so quick to dismiss it. So, her suggesting I perform magic wasn't the weirdest thing going on here.
Why would you need me for that? I asked. There were few cars out, but occasionally passing headlights would cast a ghostly light over us. You're a million times more powerful. I can't cast a fraction of the things you can.
Power is one thing, she admitted. But there are other limitations and factors at work here. I can't cast this particular spell.
I crossed my arms and slouched back in the seat. If I kept focusing on the practical aspects, I could ignore how worried I was growing.
And it couldn't have waited until morning?
No, she said gravely. It could not. Something about the tone of her voice sent chills down my spine, and I fell silent as we continued our drive. We were headed outside of the city and suburbs, into the wilds of the true desert. The farther we drove from civilization, the darker it became. Once we were off the freeway, there were no streetlights or houses in sight. Spiky desert shrubs created dark shapes along the side of the road that put me in mind of crouching animals, ready to pounce. There's no one out here, I thought, and no one back at Amberwood knows you're here either. I shifted uneasily as I recalled her virgin question. Was I going to be a sacrifice in some unholy ritual? I wished that I'd thought to bring my cell phone. Not that I could have told my organization, the alchemists, that I was spending so much time with a magic user. And not just any magic user, one who was teaching me to become one too. Better to risk being sacrificed than face the alchemist's wrath. 20 minutes later, Ms. Terwilliger finally pulled to a stop along the side of a dusty one-lane road that seemed to be a direct route to nowhere. She got out of the car and motioned for me to do the same. It was colder here than it had been back at Amberwood. Looking up into the night sky, I caught my breath. Free of the city lights, the stars were now out in full force. I could see the Milky Way and a dozen constellations usually hidden to the naked eye.
Stargaze later, she said curtly. We need to hurry before the moon progresses much further.
A moonlight ritual, a barren desert, virgin sacrifice. What had I just foolishly walked into? The way Ms. Terwilliger pushed me into magic always annoyed me, but I never thought she posed a threat. Now I berated myself for being so naive. She tossed a duffel bag over one shoulder and headed off into a desolate stretch of land, dotted with rocks and scraggly vegetation. Even with the brilliant celestial display, there wasn't much light out here. Yet she walked purposefully, as though she knew exactly where she was going. I dutifully followed, wincing as I crossed the rocky ground. My fuzzy slippers had never been intended for this sort of terrain.
Here,
she said when we reached a small clearing. She carefully set down the duffel bag and knelt to rifle through it.
This'll do.
The desert that was so mercilessly hot in the day became cold at night, but I was still sweating. Probably my own anxiety had more to do with that than the temperature or heavy pajamas. I retied my robe more tightly, making a perfect knot. I found that kind of detail and routine soothing. Ms. Terwilliger produced a large oval mirror with a scalloped silver frame. She set it down in the middle of the clearing, glanced up at the sky, and then shifted the mirror over a little.
Come here, Miss Melbourne.
She pointed to a spot opposite her on the other side of the mirror.
Sit there and make yourself comfortable.
At Amberwood, I went by the name of Sydney Melrose, rather than my true one, Sydney Sage. Ms. Terwilliger had gotten my made-up name wrong on the first day of class, and it, unfortunately, stuck. I followed her directions, not that I could really get all that comfortable out here. I was pretty sure I could hear some large animals scuffling out in the brush and added coyotes to my mental list of dangers I faced out here, right below magic use and lack of coffee.
Now then, let's get started.
Ms. Terwilliger peered at me with eyes that were dark and frightening in the desert night.
Are you wearing anything metal? You need to take it off.
No, wait. I reached around my neck and unfastened a delicate gold chain that held a small cross. I'd had the necklace for years, but had recently given it to someone else, for comfort. He'd given it back to me recently, by way of our mutual friend Jill Mastrano Dragomir. Even now, I could picture the angry look on her face as she'd stormed up to me at school and thrust the cross into my hand without a word. I stared at the cross now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?